Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The lectionary is the set of readings that are presented to us and for us each week. There's also a daily lectionary, and you can find that in your hymnal. But the lectionary for most of us is that those readings that we anticipate and that we experience when we come to worship on Sunday morning. It's not just Lutheran. Other Christians of other denominations use this or a similar lectionary as well. It starts out with a reading from the Old Testament, reminding us of our tradition, reminding us of where we come from and how God has been working with us and in us throughout time. It moves on to the psalm as we celebrate with the people of God, singing God's praises again and again, over and over, each and every Sunday. We come together then with the second reading, usually from Paul's epistles, from Paul's letters, the New Testament, reminding us of how God has come to us in Jesus Christ and changed our lives. And finally, we read a text from the Gospel, one of the three or four Gospels, one of the words of Jesus, one of the ways in which God has acted definitively through Jesus. It's a three-year cycle. It just repeats each and every 3 years. But the first year, the texts are usually from the book of Matthew. The second year, the book of Mark. The third year, the book of Luke. And John gets kind of thrown in there at different places, just so that we get a little mix-up with that. But the intention is that at the end of 3 years, we as a community would have an overview or a pretty good run through the scriptures. Not all of the texts are read. Some of the texts of the Bible are hardly ever read in church. Some of them are boring. Some of them are R-rated. Some of them are just really not that edifying. But the lectionary helps us to focus, helps us to see our lives in the cycle of God. And the idea is that as we run through these readings, each of the readings that we experience on Sunday, and each of the readings as we hear as the weeks go by, they complement each other. They allow us to understand that though the readings change, the writers and the authors are new and different, that it is the same God that has spoken throughout history, throughout our lives. And so today we begin with this reading from Job, a book that many of us know about, but many of us don't quite know what it's about. We hear in this text of how God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind, out of the storm, out of the tornado, if you will, that is swirling around him as Job tries to figure out why in the world all of these things in his life are happening to him. And it's God's voice that speaks to Job here in this passage, reminding Job of who God is, saying, "Who shut the sea behind its doors? Who said, 'Here shall your proud waves be stopped?'" God is trying to get Job's attention, trying to remind Job of his place and God's place in the universe. Indeed, the ancient peoples believed that weather and the sea and natural phenomena, these were acts of the gods. We still talk that way in some ways. An act of God destroyed the city because a tornado blew through. We still talk about weather and the phenomenon of our lives as those ways that God is blowing through our world. Think Zeus and his thunderbolt and his propensity for causing storms. Or think of our own creation stories where we read that God is the one who separates the waters from above and the waters from below. It is God who controls those waters, guides those storms, and affects our lives. Today we move into Psalm 107 that bids us give thanks to God. Give thanks because God has redeemed us from the foe. What foe? Well, the foe of the storm. The psalmist says, God spoke and the wind and the waters arose. And yet, in that same voice, the psalmist says, you delivered them, God. You made a way for them through the storm. You stilled it, and you brought peace. So whether the storm is literal, or whether the storm is something going on in our lives, in our world, a figurative storm, God is the one who is in control. Now, the second reading that we usually have on Sundays is sometimes out of place, sometimes seems a little bit of a diversion or a off on its own track. Sometimes the second reading is actually a series of readings through one or more of the epistles of Paul. And yet today, we see that this reading from Paul really does fit into the themes of our texts. As Paul says, now is the day of salvation, that same salvation that the psalmist was praising God for. Paul says, there are no obstacles. We could say there are no storms. Paul looks to a way of us seeing the world where God has created a path for us. Hardships and afflictions, nope. Paul says we don't have to worry about those. Even the obstacles of death, in Paul's view, are rendered insignificant. So it is still God who is guiding us through this storm. And of course, the gospel text today is about that storm. It's about the storm that Jesus and the disciples encounter when Jesus rescues the disciples. And if we're paying attention, we might ask the question, there's a storm. People are afraid. People are in danger of perishing. Who is it that can tame the sea and silence the wind? Well, if we've been paying attention, we might have heard the word that God spoke to Job. We might have heard the words of the psalm about the storm that rages and the God that protects. And so even at the end of today's gospel reading, when it's the disciples who ask the question, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The text answers itself in that this is Jesus, and Jesus is the very presence of God. Jesus is the one who embodies all that God is able to do for and in and with us. So just like the Easter and the resurrection story, this is a story of redemption. This is a story of salvation. This is a story of our trust in God to do what God needs to do for us. You see, it's not a mystery that we see in the Bible. It's not a mystery that the scriptures keep hidden, but the very embrace of God to gather us together, to allow God to remind us that we are protected, that we are given hope and goodness. Oh, there may be mystery. There is mystery as we gather around the cup and the bread. There is mystery as we wonder how it is that God is speaking to us in this world. There is even mystery as to why, in fact, the storms do their worst on us as we navigate the paths of this world. And yet the message always comes around that no one walks alone. Remember how Jesus even said, I am with you always to the end of the age. The stories all come around. The messages of God all come around to this very hope and this very goodness that God is always with us. Remember that faith is really just another way of saying the word trust. Faith isn't an intellectual experience. It isn't something that we conjure up on our own. Faith isn't something that we hold fast to, that we grab hold of and that we can keep for ourselves. Faith is more like letting go. Faith is about not having all the answers, not knowing where the storms come from and where the storms go, but only falling into the arms of our loving Father, falling into the goodness that God has to give us. And so even as we experience this storm with the disciples, we hear Jesus asking us the question too, have you no faith? Why are you afraid? Because if faith is trust, then fear is the opposite, an unwillingness to rely on that faith, an unwillingness to know that God is there even when we fall. And so here we come back to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. In Paul's letters, he calls for radical change, a radical shift in the way that God is working and enveloping the lives of these people. Paul says there is no longer a law, there is no longer barriers, there is no longer fear, only Christ, only the one who has come to still our storms and to save us from the world, even if we suffer with Christ. As the storms rage, as the wind blows, as the waves seem like they may overtake us, Christ is with us in this boat, ready to awaken and still the storm. And that's the good news for today, isn't it? That this God is with us in Jesus Christ. That this God is with us as God has come to us through the scriptures, through the patterns of our lives, through our willingness to give ourselves into the arms and the hope of Jesus. We do that as we remember, remembering the faith of our forefathers, remembering the good things that God has given us through our ancestors and our parents and our grandparents. Remembering our own storms of life and remembering the scriptures that have told us that you are beloved. We do this as we pray for our community, for ourselves, for our understanding of how we together can continue to walk in faith, and as we expect goodness. Expect goodness to rain down and fill our lives, still the storms, and bring us hope. Amen.